this morning I will complete my Genesis series with the story of Joseph. When it comes down to Joseph, there are several things that we can talk about, such as favoritism. Joseph's father practiced favoritism that created enormous resentment among Joseph's brothers. We can also talk about dreams and interpretations. God still uses dreams today, and we need people to interpret the dreams. Also, how do we fight off or ward off temptations? Joseph was the one tempted big time, still overcame his temptation. We can talk about integrity and even wisdom to prepare for the future, and so on. There are so many things that we can talk about. But to me, there is one word that stands out above all the others that I just mentioned. It is forgiveness. Did you know, in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, the word to forgive and forgiveness first appears in the story of Joseph in Genesis 50. Genesis has 50 chapters. For the first 49 chapters, you don't see that, the word forgiveness, until Genesis 50. Now, before I dig deeper, though, I need to bring you up to speed, because Joseph's story covers from Genesis chapter 37 all the way to 50. And we are on chapter 45, as we read this morning, so I need to bring you up to the speed. So I'm going to go about 100 miles per hour, so just stay close with me. I'm going to spend about 60% of my time to bring you up to date, then I'll go on. Jacob, the father, whom I talked about last Sunday, had 12 sons altogether, but he loved Joseph the most. He made him a multicolored tunic, rare thing in those days, when the rest of his sons got plain tunics. You know, when you have brother, older brothers and so on, it's just hand down to you. Okay, my first son, give it to the second one, third one, and fourth one. They all got worn down old tunics, yet Joseph got brand new, always multicolored tunic. Because of this favoritism, his older brothers hated him. You cannot blame them, right? So one day, Joseph was on errands, and he went to his brothers while they were in the fields with their flock. Originally, the 10 older brothers wanted to kill him and throw him into a pit. But they changed their minds, and they ended up selling him for 20 coins of silver to a caravan that was headed down to Egypt. 2 coins for each brother. Of course, to their father, when they came home after selling their, brother to slavery, they lied to their father that Joseph was, mauled. He was killed by a wild beast, and they showed Joseph's tunic that was stained with goat's blood. Now, when Joseph was sold into slavery, he was 17 years old. For the next 13 years, he had a very rough life, serving as a domestic slave to begin with, and later on, he was falsely accused by his master's wife that Joseph had to try to rape her. For that, Joseph was imprisoned until he was 30 years old. Well, God never left Joseph during the years of slavery, and in fact, God was with him and made him prosperous in everything he did. When Joseph was still in jail, he worked as an assistant to the jailer, because he was a young man and he was very good, so they just let him work as assistant. One day, 2 royal servants of King Pharaoh in Egypt were thrown into prison. In those days, it was dungeon, due to the king's wrath. The first one was head cupbearer, king's cupbearer, and the other one is head baker. And both of them had dreams the same night, and Joseph interpreted their dreams. He basically said, you, the baker, would be hanged, The cupbearer, you, would be restored to your former position. Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember if his dream came true. Indeed, it did. The cupbearer was restored to his position, yet the problem is that the guy forgot about his promise to remember Joseph. And guess what? 2 years passed. And this time, the king Pharaoh had a dream himself. And the king was deeply troubled with his dreams. Actually, he dreamt twice, the same dream twice in a different way. So he asked for the interpretations from his royal advisors to no avail. No one was able to interpret that. And that's when the cupbearer just remembered, "Your Majesty, I know someone who could help you." And he recommended Joseph to the king. Of course, once again, Joseph was standing before the Pharaoh and was able to interpret the king's dream with God's help. He said that there would be 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine in the land of Egypt. So Joseph advised the king to find a wise one who would prepare the kingdom for the upcoming hardships. Pharaoh, of course, appointed Joseph. "There is no better person than you are." So he appointed Joseph to that position and made him the second in command in his kingdom. So at the age of 30, Joseph became a prime minister of the Egyptian kingdom. His interpretation of king's dream came true. There was plenty in Egypt for 7 years, and during that time, Joseph gathered all the spare food and stored them in every city in Egypt. After 7 years of abundance, followed the 7 years of famine. Now, the text you heard and the text that we read this morning was describing that in the second year of famine. The famine was so severe that it affected not only Egypt, but also the land of Palestine, where Jacob and his 11 sons and their families dwelt, all 75. And they too felt the pinch of famine, no food to eat. So one day, Jacob heard that the food was available in Egypt. So calling up his 10 sons, by the way, the 10 sons who sold their younger brother to slavery years ago, he sent them with money to buy some grain for food. Off they went to Egypt and stood before Joseph by then, who handled all the trade of grain, buying and selling in the entire kingdom. So they bowed down before Joseph and explained why they stood before the prime minister to buy food. As soon as Joseph realized that they were his older brothers, oh, by the way, they were speaking to each other through the interpreter, okay? And Joseph was decorated with the Egyptian, you know, all these things. There is no way that the brothers would not recognize Joseph. 13 years later on, anyway, actually 20-some years later. So Joseph pretended that he was a complete stranger to his brothers and spoke harshly to them, saying, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." The brothers denied emphatically, but Joseph brushed off their explanations and took Simeon, one of the older brothers, as a hostage and commanded them to bring their youngest brother to Egypt to prove their innocence. So after returning home, the 9 brothers, Simeon was left in Egypt, reported to their father Jacob what had happened in Egypt and why Simeon was missing. They begged their father Jacob to send Benjamin with them this time so that they would bring back more food with Simeon. Jacob said, "No way. First I lost my son Joseph, and now I lost my son Simeon, and you're taking my son Benjamin. No, I'm not going to do it." That was his response. However, when they ran out of food, Jacob had no other choice but to consent to his son's demand. So there we go. They went down to Egypt again, this time with Benjamin, to buy more food and bring Simeon back home. By the way, Benjamin was Joseph's younger brother from the same mother. Well, when they stood before Joseph again with Benjamin, Joseph, all he wanted just to keep his brother from the same mother with him and send the rest of the 10 brothers back to Canaan. And then, when he revealed his plan, this is what I'm going to do. And Judah, one of the older brothers, panicked. Because they promised Jacob, we'll bring everybody back. But then, when Benjamin would be withheld, you know, in Egypt, Judah says, my father will cry and it'll break the old man's heart. So he volunteered, keep me here, but send Benjamin home. And that's when Joseph could not pretend any longer. He broke down. Actually, he asked every Egyptian to be out from the room, and he broke down and revealed himself to his brothers that he was their younger brother. And that's what's happening in today's text, Genesis 45. Now you're up to the speed now. Now, if anyone asked me to summarize today's text with one word, I would choose the word forgiveness. Yeah, it's about family reunion, but it's more than that. It's forgiveness. And Joseph's story today reveals three important aspects of forgiveness. By the way, I want you to know the concept of forgiveness in the Bible is this: to lift up the burden of guilt and shame from the one who trespassed against you. Can I use the word trespasser? I looked up the English dictionary last night. There are three words that I could have used: perpetrator, transgressor, and trespasser. And I'm going to use the one trespasser. That's the closest one I can think of to the Bible. So what's the first aspect of forgiveness? Forgiveness is not easy, yet not impossible. Many biblical scholars call Joseph a tzaddik. It's a Hebrew word, meaning that a righteous man who lives a blameless life before God. Only to such a tzaddik, a righteous man, forgiveness was available and can do that. That's what they said. But even to such a righteous man, forgiveness was not easy at all. Did you know that it took him 22 years to forgive his brothers who had done wrong to him? 13 years of slavery and imprisonment, and 7 years of abundance and 2 years of famine. Altogether 22 years. Now let me tell you this. His older brothers were mean and jealous. And they were so cruel to Joseph that when he cried out for help, please don't do that, don't do that, don't sell me into slavery, they blocked their ears to Joseph's cry and sold him anyway. For 2 coins for each brother. For the next 22 years in Joseph's heart, don't you think they were the source of bitterness and anger? By the way, what people do when they are hurt, typically they try to forget, right? Joseph did the same thing. He wanted to forget everything at home, father, brothers, and everything else in his family. And that's what exactly he did, so that when he got married, then he got 2 sons, and when his first son was born, he named him Manasseh. Hebrew word meaning forget, okay? Which means, the Bible says, it is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Imagine that each time he calls his son Manasseh, Manasseh, meaning that forget. Manasseh was born after Joseph became the prime minister, then he got married. So that means that he did not forgive his brothers or forget his trouble for at least 13 years. But he eventually did. The first aspect of forgiveness is that it's not easy, but not impossible. The second aspect is this: forgiveness is only possible in God and with God's help. Imagine yourself, Joseph. In front of you, your 10 brothers standing who sold you to slavery, and they bow down before you. And you would have had the urge to extend this sweet moment of revenge to punishing them because they deserve it. I don't think it was easy for Joseph to resist that temptation of sweet revenge. But Joseph decided, I am not going to be that person to revenge, taking place of God. So this is what he did. He revealed himself to his brothers saying, come close to me. I am your brother Joseph, the one who sold you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. In these 4 verses that I just read to you, he repeated 3 times. It was not you, but God who sent me here. Who do you think helped Joseph change his mind from revenge to forgiveness? It was God, wasn't it? God convicted Joseph that he sent him into Egypt, not his brothers. Joseph had observed and seen in his own life that God turned the evil meant by his brothers into good for his own entire family. And because the good in the end was far greater than his ordeal, Joseph was able to forgive his mean brothers. Folks, I'm now turning to you, all of us. Do you have someone or some people in your life who had done wrong to you? I'm sure almost every one of us has. Are you still holding grudges against them? That's a tough question for you. May God open your hearts and eyes to see that forgiveness is not only necessary, but also possible in God. May you see God's protection and providence in your life, as Joseph did. May you see that the outcome is far better than your own ordeal. And only then you can forgive those who harmed you. The second aspect of forgiveness is that only possible in God and with his help. The final aspect of forgiveness in the story is this. It requires initiative. I believe there are 2 ways that we can forgive those people who trespass against us. The first one is this. We forgive them when they repent. They come to us and say, sorry, I've done wrong. And we forgive. The other way is this. We forgive them even though they never ask for forgiveness. Show no sign of repentance. Now, this one is more challenging than the first one. However, we must know what God wants us to do. Did you know that God's will for us is to forgive those who trespass against us, whether or not they repent? Think of Jesus hanging on the cross. The crowd came to him, standing at the foot, and looking at him and say, they were making fun of him, mocked him, saying, if you're the Christ, come down and save you and us. They made fun of him. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. Did they ever show any sign of repentance? No. But Jesus forgave them anyway. What about the Stephen, the martyr, who was stoned to death because of his witness of Jesus Christ? As he was dying after, stoned by how many stones, we don't know. But he looked up the sky and he says, Father, forgive these people because they don't know what they're doing. Did the crowd show any, sign of repentance? Not at all. But he forgave them anyway. Now consider Joseph in the story one more time. How did he forgive his brothers? Did he do so after they were repentant? No. He did not wait for them to say that they were sorry. It reminds you and me that we take initiative when we forgive those who hurt us, even though they never come to us and say sorry. Not easy at all, but with God's help, we can do the same as Joseph did. One more question and I'll be done. What's going to happen to those folks who hurt us, yet never repent of their sins? Yes, forgive, them. It's our part. What about them? What's going to happen to them? God's word answers in 2 ways. The first one is this. God says, vengeance is mine, not yours. When Joseph's brothers, by the way, I just forward you a little bit. Fast forward. When Jacob was still alive, Joseph's brothers felt a little easy. Okay, as long as our father alive, Joseph is not going to do anything against us. When Jacob finally passed away, they begin to worry, oh, since our father is gone, he's going to do something bad to and against us. And when it was known to Joseph, Joseph assured their brothers that he is not an avenger, saying, am I in place of God? Good phrase to remember. Am I in place of God? No, I'm not. Listen to Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, God says. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Vengeance is God's, not ours. The second thing, the way that God Bible presents is this. Each of us will be repaid by God for our deeds, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. As for closing, let's not wait for another day, folks, to forgive someone in your life and in our lives who hurt us. You may want to argue with me, Pastor Choi, you have no idea what he or she has done to me. I will never ever forgive that individual. I heard more than once, folks, from the believers, okay? I hear your hurt. But you know what? As pastor and the minister of the gospel, I also have to point out this to you, because that's my responsibility. As long as you maintain that position, I will never forgive that individual. You know what? God, as much as he was willing to forgive your sins, he cannot forgive your sins. You block him. Okay? Your sins, in other words, will never be forgiven by God. That's what the Bible says. So you have to understand that one. May God help us to forgive our trespassers. And let us remember too, forgiveness is only done with our own will, not with our emotions. If all of us wait until the moment that, oh, I will forgive the individual, this individual, when I feel like it, the feelings will never come. Forgiving God and overcome evil with good. That's God's will for us. Let's bow our heads and pray. This issue of forgiveness has been with us for thousands of years, even in the days of Joseph. Whew. We often think that our family is bad, but Joseph's family, brothers selling their own brother for money and hide it. They hid that secret, the truth from their father for 22 years. The father was grieving because of the deception in the family. The issue here, Lord, is the forgiveness. All of us, with no exception, has someone, one or two in our lives, who trespassed against us. We feel so angry, and just the injustice has been done against us, and what can we do? We feel we'd like to revenge. But God says, vengeance is mine. Give me that vengeance and I'll take care of it, God says. In the meantime, Lord, you ask us to forgive those folks who trespass against us. As we always say in the Lord's Prayer, it's good for us and it's good for them when we forgive. Help us to lift up the burden of guilt and shame from the trespassers. And it will please you, Lord. And you will do what you can do in due time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.